The people who live around Camp David in Thurmont, Maryland, love their little piece of history.
It's a pride when you go somewhere and say, well, I'm from Thurmont, and people say, well, where is Thurmont, Maryland? Never heard of it. Well, have you ever heard of Camp David, the presidential retreat? Oh, yes. And then that puts us on the map.
But President Obama doesn't seem to be much of a camper. Of recent presidents, he's used the retreat by far the least, according to unofficial White House statistics. This is President Obama's first time visiting Camp David this year. Did Dick Cheney leave a big mess in his undisclosed location? Is it the bugs or something? Is it just too quiet for this president from Chicago? Alan Lichtman, political historian and distinguished professor of history at American University, says Obama may be the first president who is more impressed by the White House gym than the historic cabins of Camp David.
Well, Camp David has a fascinating history. It began in the 1930s as a project of the Works Progress Administration, which Franklin Roosevelt set up as part of his New Deal program to put people to work. But it also built useful things like this camp out in the Catoctin Mountains near Washington, D.C., which Franklin Roosevelt took as a presidential retreat. And he called it Shangri-La after that mythical, wonderful place in the Himalayas. And it was only named Camp David later, under President Dwight Eisenhower, who named it after his grandson and his father. Dwight Eisenhower very much liked to go to Camp David. So did Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, and George W. Bush were all quite fond of the retreat. George W. Bush spent more than 300 days of his two-term presidency at Camp David.
Why do you think Barack Obama seems to have some hesitation to head out to this serene retreat?
Barack Obama has not used Camp David very much as compared to prior presidents. Obama hasn't said why he hasn't used Camp David as much as others, so we have to speculate. You know, he's kind of an urban guy, and perhaps he likes cities better than the isolation in the rural area of Camp David. You know, he's got daughters who are kind of at the age where they're bored with everything. Maybe they find Camp David a little too quiet, a little too boring. Doesn't have a golf course. He likes to play golf, but of course, so did Bill Clinton. So it's probably a combination of those factors.
Well, the idea that Camp David would be used as a negotiating venue for diplomacy is an old one. And of course, Jimmy Carter made it famous with the Camp David Accords. Is it possible that it may have reached the end of its usefulness with this Gulf summit here, in that there seems to be so much hesitation on the part of a lot of leaders to head up there?
There does seem to be a real hesitation. I think that may have more to do with the geopolitical configuration of the world right now than Camp David itself. As you say, Camp David has a decades-long history of being a center of negotiations and meetings between high-level officials. And it has a certain advantage in that it's very secure and it's very isolated. And that's one of the reasons why it was so successful back in 1978 when Israel and Egypt reached the Camp David Accords. They really weren't bothered by a lot of folks, you know, in the news media and others.
Did you ever go to Camp David?
I have gone to the vicinity of Camp David. In fact, many years ago, back in the late 70s, when Jimmy Carter was president, and I was a serious runner, I ran a 10-kilometer run there. And I looked to my right, and standing 5 feet to my right was President Jimmy Carter in his little shorts and shirt, planning to run the same race. And I thought, well, maybe I'll run with the president, but I was a little bit faster. So I ran my race, and then I later heard that this was the famous race in which Jimmy Carter had collapsed. And that collapse was considered to be part of the late Carter malaise during his term. But what nobody knows, and to Jimmy Carter's great credit, is that after collapsing, he returned to the finish and actually gave all of us who finished the race a wonderful, inspiring pep talk. I'll never forget that.
A little bit of history that you missed. Not much gets by you, Alan Lichtman. Thanks so much.
My great pleasure. Take care.
Alan Lichtman, a political historian, distinguished professor of history at American University.